Horeb Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart, presents a message for your life. Get ready and take notes, because God wants to speak to you today. And now, Pastor David Rodriguez.
Sometimes we just fight, and sometimes we just freeze, right? When we see something, we're fearful. And what about us? What about those of us who say we believe in Jesus Christ and He is our cornerstone? Jesus, I believe, I belong to you, and all this stuff. Why are we then plagued by fear sometimes? Maybe because we barely tap into the resources that God gives us in His Word. And He's made so many things available to us, right? Through His Word, and we can see that in Christ Jesus. Now, I want to talk to you about, instead of expecting bad things, you know, like, I did. I can't remember. On the Flintstones. Flintstones were like one of my favorite cartoons to watch. Anybody watch the Flintstones when you were a kid? Okay. All right. I want you to help me remember, because Flintstones got some very special characters. Fred, Wilma, Barney, Betty. Right, and I watched it in Spanish because, of course, it was so funny. Betty, Pablo Marmol, Pedro Picapiedra. Those are crazy names, right? But there was one character in there. I don't know if I don't remember the name in English, but I know the name in Spanish was Mala Suerte. You know what that means? Bad luck. And there was this character on the Flintstones that always walked with a dark cloud over him. Do you remember that? And his hair covered his face, and he was always walking like that. I can't remember the name of that character to save my life. Anybody? Well, y'all didn't watch the Flintstones then. Most of you are looking at me like, there were no such character on. No, you lying to us now, Pastor. Right? I ain't lying to you. You better go watch it again. Watch them reruns. I can't remember the name. Now, don't go Googling it right now, because we don't have time to do that, AJ. Help me out, okay? I'm just kidding. I had to pick on somebody, AJ, man. You look like a good... Sorry, man. He's looking down. I was like, don't look it up, right? Everybody thinks he's on the phone there. He wasn't, okay? Just take it easy. But I can't remember the name. But there was this kid, this guy who walked over with a dark cloud over him and the hair on his face, and he always walked like that. He only appeared in the Flintstones like once in a while, right? Just like the other little green man with a big head, right? Gazoo? Remember him? Y'all don't remember that? The little alien that came about and give him good advice, and Fred Flintstone always messed it up? Y'all didn't watch no Flintstones. You're a bunch of liars now. Oh, man. That's messed up. But you got it? You got the name? Why are you looking at me like you got the name? You're going to tell me something. Oh, man. I don't know. I don't know what to do with you people anymore. Y'all need to go back and watch the Flintstones, okay? But it was like always bad luck over him. And like nothing went right. Everything was wrong in his life. And I remember when I was about 13, 14, my friends called me that. I mean, I had what I thought was really bad luck. Every time I was around, something bad happened. And they always laughed at me and always joked about that character on the Flintstones and called me his name. But that changed when Christ came to my life, thank God. But let me tell you something. Things happen, right? And sometimes you're fearful of the future. And sometimes you just think, what is it going to happen? What's going to happen? What is it going to be? I don't know. And you become stressed about things like that. But we have faith. Amen? Instead of living by fear, we need to be living by faith. I'm reminded of an occasion in which Jesus walking and two blind men are screaming and yelling, both of them, Jesus, Son of David, Jesus, Son of David. And he says, what do y'all want? They said, well, they wanted to see. And Jesus said, let it be done according to your faith. Jesus didn't turn around and say, I heal you, open your eyes. He didn't grab in mud and spit in his eyes either and did that. For these two blind men, Jesus only said, let it be done according to your faith. Basically, the ball is in your court. I have power. All of this I have invested. It's out there for you to tap into it. Let it be done according to your faith. It's faith. And when you go through life expecting in faith what God can do, it changes everything. It changes everything. You know, we have a member in our church, Tina. Most of you know her, right? Luis's wife. You know, he always comes in with his little oxygen tank and stuff. He's always cheerful. And he comes in, he's been through so many heart attacks. He's been through so much stuff. And he comes in here, and the first thing he says is, "We're alive, brother. We're alive in Christ." I'm like, I'm amazed. This guy, I mean, loses 50 pounds and becomes like a little bone, goes to the hospital. As a matter of fact, he's been to the hospital 4 times this week. And he's still there. He only had 1 day of the week with no hospital. And I called him last night because I was on the way to his house and there was nobody there. And I called him. He's like, "I'm here at the hospital. Where are you?" And I said, "I might buy your house." He's like, "Oh, you're at the wrong place. But we're alive, brother." And I'm like, this is too much for me. And his wife has cancer. And here's what I wanted to get. A few months ago, when she was told she had cancer, she became scared like a little mouse. And she was always saying that she was going to die. And she cried and cried. Pessimist. I mean, she had so much fear. Throughout the course of time, things started changing. Last night, I was at her house. I was so encouraged. I went home with tears in my eyes. When she started telling me, "You know, Pastor, I've learned so much from my husband. I could never be like him and have the faith he has, but guess what? I turn to my wall now. I turn to the wall at night. And I pray to God and I said, God, you're my Savior. You have so many promises and I'm going to start believing you because you never lied to me. You have never lied and you have never failed and I'm going to keep trusting you." Oh my God, what a change in faith. Her attitude, she was walking instead of sitting down or laying in a bed. She was all over the place and I'm like, "Whoa, Tina, come on, take it easy." I was so impressed. And in all, she still has the cancer. It was all a change of attitude from fear to faith, and it's working for her. You should see her. As a matter of fact, last night when we left her, we put her in bed, and she turned and she said, "Good night," and she turned to the wall. I said, "You go ahead, talk to God. He's right there on that wall, baby." And she was so happy and with a smile, and I went in tears. I'm like, oh my God, what a change. It's amazing. But anyway, let's get to this. But it's, what is life like? What is it that you're expecting from God in life? What is your future going to be like? What are you expecting? Are you one of those that lives in fear of what might happen or just excited about what God might do? There's a big difference there. We tend to live the way we expect. Your expectations become true. You start thinking one way, trust me, you're going to act that way. You start thinking your future is bleak and not too, that's exactly what you're going to see. Now, I'm not trying to say that you have the power to change things and your destiny and everything. No, be careful. God is all powerful. The thing is tapping into his power and believing for it. I mean, I could close it right now and say amen, and we could go home and we had a sermon, but we're not done yet. We're fixing to start now. Now, I'm going to give you 6 things to change the outlook in your life, to think about faith, to live in faith and not in fear. Because there's 2 approaches to life. You can live in faith or you can live in fear. You can live your life in fear or you can live your life in faith. But I want to get to Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20 specifically. Verse 20. But I want to start in verse 16. Let's start in verse 16 so that we can kind of get a little glimpse of what's happening here. Here's Paul talking to the Ephesians. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. Did you see that? According to the riches of his glory, grant you to give you according to his riches, not according to what you think you should have. According to the riches of his glory. And I'm not talking money here necessarily, okay? There's so many other riches that are far worth worth so more than just money, okay? According to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his spirit in the inner man. You see that? So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through what? Faith. Say with me, what? Faith. And that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up with all his fullness. You see the riches of his glory right there described. Now, look at verse 10. Now, to him who is what? Able. We're not talking about Abel, the guy who plays the drums and helps out with the sound around here, right? No, that's not the Abel I'm talking about. I'm talking ability. He is able. He has the ability to do what? Far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Now think about this in verse 20. Now to him who is able to do what? Far abundantly. Far more abundantly beyond. Man, how much more do we want? It's like there's a one of the versions or translations of the Bible puts it like this. The Amplified Version says, God is able to super abundantly, far and over and above all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams. Think about that. All that in a bag of chips is my God. Oh, man, he's got so much. Now, let's think about it. Then, so how do we approach life? You can choose to live by fear, or you can choose to live by faith. Like I said, you can be an optimist or a pessimist. That's as simple as that, you know? And we think about, for example, Job. Job went through a lot. And, you know, we talk about Job and his faith, and he said, you know what? And blessed be the name of the Lord, you know? But he also became pessimist at a time. If you look in Job chapter 3 and verse 25, it says that he said, everything I fear and dread becomes true. Remember the character I told you on the Flintstones? Everything that happens to me, everything. Do you feel like that? I felt like that this week when I had a car accident and the car that I was driving was not mine. I borrowed it from someone who wasn't the owner who borrows it from the owner. Okay, so I got in big trouble. So I wrecked that car. It's total. Okay, now, other than that, my car left me hanging out in the street 3 times this week. So I was towed twice and pulled once. So I lived in tow trucks this whole week. And guess what? That thought came to me. I got depressed and I said, why does this stupid stuff always happens to me? So I needed the sermon then. Too bad I didn't have it ready then. But now I will. So you see, we can be a pessimist. We can be an optimist because some things came out of that. Surprise. Amen. Hallelujah, Shannon. Thank you for being so thankful for me being here. My back hurts, but I'm okay. But you know what's awesome? You won't believe it. Some of you already know. The person I hit out in the bridge, Crescent City Bridge, used to be a member of this church. It was my fault. I hit them from behind, right? But then somebody else came behind me and crushed me right into them. And when she got out of the car, I said, excuse me, are you okay? And when she turned around, she says, Pastor, I'm so sorry. And she started crying and hugged me. And I'm like, you're home, baby. Don't worry. Got you covered. Welcome home. You're going to be all right. Don't worry. It's my fault. It's not your fault. It's okay. I'm here. And she's like, oh, I'm so sorry. Guess what? 3 hours later, after tow trucks and everything, she says, I'm coming to church on Sunday. So I'm hoping to see her on the next service because I don't see her here right now, right? That's why I'm telling you, because she's not here, right? But it's amazing. So all of a sudden, instead of being pessimist about this big wreck, I'm like, I got the chance to talk to this young lady again and pray. And hopefully, she'll be back on track. Amen? And I had to go wreck somebody else's car to get there. Amen. So I don't know. You know, you either live by fear or faith. I don't know. The funny thing is I had to call the owner. Oh, my God, I got to tell you this. I had to call the owner of the car, okay? And I said, hey, Dr. Bart. And he said, yes. So this is Pastor David Rodriguez. Remember me? We met at a wedding. We spoke for about 10 minutes or so, 20, who knows? He's like, yeah, what's going on? I got a message. I'm like, well, I got some bad news about your car. Everything's okay, but your car is wrecked. And unfortunately, I was driving. He's like, whoa, what happened? So I told him. And he's like, yeah, how about Israel? Israel's the guy that gets the car from him. You know Israel, right? And I said, well, he's all right. I took him to the airport. He's off to Peru. And he's like, at least you got that sucker on a plane. And I'm like, whoa. I even told him, I said, Dr. Bart, I appreciate your humor, but right now I'm really sad because, you know, he's like, oh, don't worry, it's just a car. Well, of course, I got a ticket, and then the officer tells me, you know, your tag is expired and your insurance is expired too. I'm like, okay, I'm going to jail. He sent me a picture of the insurance. I got away with that, but then the registration was 2 years overdue. Israel, yeah, that's him. Anyway, got to go get him. So the cop tells me, if you don't get me those things before I leave, then we have to deal with this differently. Oh, my God, is that a threat? No, I said, no, I know you're doing your job. I'm sorry. Finally, I told him, listen, I just showed him the text. Here's the insurance stuff, but the tags is expired. He's like, let me see. He says, okay. So I got away. And the man then comes back and tells me, here's your ticket for the accident. I'm not gonna do anything about that registration, but you better tell him to go get it fixed. And I'm like, okay, you're the man. I laughed. But let me tell you, talk about fear and faith at the time. But you see, you need to think about this because when you expect the worst, who are you honoring? But when you expect the best, you're honoring God. You think about that. When you expect the best out of life, you will honor God if you truly believe him. And let me tell you, it increases your ability as you trust in him, increases your ability to do things. Think about athletes. Athletes are, you know, they train and do all these things, but they got to have a winning edge, right? They got to have an attitude that gives them the edge to win things. And I'm going to give you an example. Muhammad Ali. Muhammad Ali only lost two fights. And you know, somebody decided to go through all the records of all the interviews of Muhammad Ali. And before those two fights, those were the only two fights. The only two fights in which Muhammad Ali said, well, now, if I lose this fight, those were the only two times he said that, and he actually lost those two fights. He never said that for any other fight, and he won them all. So you think about it. You may have something, but you got to have the right attitude. You got to have faith. Now, of course, and not talking about faith in yourself. Once again, we're talking about faith in God. Remember, he's got all the riches and glory all for you. Think about David. David and Goliath, right? Everybody was thinking, you know what? We don't stand a chance. You don't stand a chance. You won't be able to get this guy. He's too big. And David probably was thinking, yeah, he's so big. I got all that target to hit him. Trust me. I won't miss him. I can't miss him. He's so big. Now, what was the weapon that Goliath was using with the people of Israel? Was it a big javelin that he had? Was it the big shield that men had to carry it for him, as big as it was? That wasn't Goliath's weapon. It was fear. Goliath, as big as he was, he could have come the first day and gone out there and beat the heck out of whatever guy and say, we got it. We're taking over. But he didn't. You know what he did? He came out every day. Ha, 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 ha. You bunch of whatever. You think you're going to come at me with sticks like I was a dog? Who do you think you are? I challenge you. And he went back home. He slept. He come back up next day, ha, 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 ha. What was he doing? Intimidate him. Fear. That was his weapon. was nothing else. And it worked until somebody decided to act not by fear, but by faith, and knocked him out. It's amazing. See, you got to expect the best. You got to have that kind of faith, and you got to have that kind of faith. And I hope and pray and that you have that kind of faith for your family. Amen. You know, we're starting this campaign, this family campaign next week. Starting next week all the way through Father's Day, we're going to have nothing but a buffet, bro, of awesome things. We're going to have all kinds of, I'm going to tell you about it later. But I want you to know that you can think of, many giants may come at you, whether in your family, at work, or wherever, whatever it is, even against your people, your friends, and the people that you love. But you have to believe God that you will not miss. Grab your stones and go for it, all right? So let's start believing. Let's go. Now, I'm going to give you six things. I told you that, right? I told you that like 20 minutes ago. I'm still on the introduction. So we'll be here till like two or so. Okay, all right, no problem. I'm just kidding. Let's go. Six things quickly. How to stay optimistic in life. Number one, start your day with faith. Start your day with faith. You got to start your day the right way. You see, when you start your day the wrong way, usually what do you think? Oh my God, this is not going to be good today, right? And what happens? Usually it turns out bad, right? But you have to start your day right. You got to start your day believing. You got to start your day with faith. You see, studies have shown that if your first 10 minutes, it is the first 10 minutes of your day that set the tone for the rest of the day. The first 10 minutes when you wake up set the tone for the rest of your day. Now think about it. You have in the Bible 365 times it says, do not fear. Do not fear. 365 times. You got one for each day when you wake up. Do not fear. Do not fear. Believe. Have faith, right? That's amazing. That's amazing. See, it's like I read the story about a German shoemaker who had his business wherever he made shoes and stuff, and he used gas lamps, right? Because there was no electricity at the time. And unfortunately, one day, he forgot to turn off the gas, and he went home. The next day when he came to the shop and he started to turn the lights on with a match, when he lit up the match, kaboom! The place blew up and it, boosh! It blew him away. He fell a bunch, feet out there. He was on the ground. The place is on fire and somebody comes over and tells him, hey, man, oh, my God. Are you okay? I mean, are you look at you, you ain't hurt. And he says, you know what? You can see that place, but I don't know what happened. It just, I lit up the match and I got out of there as fast as I could. Did you get it? He didn't get out. He was blown out. Talk about optimism, right? He's like, I just got out there as soon as I could, as fast as I could. See, he could have said, oh, my God, that thing blew me over, and my body hurts, my back hurts. And nobody's like, oh, my God, did you see that? I got out of there as fast as I could. You see, you got to think in those terms. You got to think differently. Psalm chapter 5 and verse 3. In the morning, O Lord, you will hear my voice. In the morning, I will order my prayer to you and eagerly watch. You know what? Expectation. Remember, expect the best. You go pray in the morning and you expect the best from God. And like I said before, I've said this too many times. Remember when we were doing the campaign a few weeks ago? We were talking about sitting in silence for 2 minutes every day in the morning when you do your prayers and when you do your Bible reading and stuff like that. It's a great thing. Just be silent. Expect from God. You pray and you expect from Him. Start your day with your face in the book and not on Facebook. Get your face in the book, right? I can imagine some people getting up and the first thing they do is look at the phone. Ain't all the crud in the eyes, no brushing teeth. And they're like, what? That's how you start your day? Come on. Number two, look for the good in your situation. Look for the good in your situation. Not everything is good, right? I'm not saying that everything is good. Not everything is good, but there's good in most situations. So look for that. Look for that. We have that verse that we always claim,
Romans chapter 8, verse 28, and we know that God causes all things to work together for the good of those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose, right? We use that verse for so many people, but we forget to use it on ourselves when we're in a bad situation. And we need to learn that. God specializes in bringing good out of bad things, right? You've heard it before. He makes miracle out of your messes. You make a mess, he makes a miracle. That's how God works. You see, Thomas Edison, the inventor of the light bulb, he had a big laboratory in New Jersey. And there was a big fire also in his place. And he lost millions of dollars in equipment, his records of lifetime of works and everything. And the next morning, he walked out and he walked through the charred, you know, everything was just messed up. And he thought about it and he said, you know, there's a lot of value in this disaster. You know, all of my mistakes are burnt here. Thank God I can start anew. Man, talk about seeing things in a different light. Talk about seeing the good in every situation. Number three, give your problems to God. Amen. A lot of us think that God gives us problems. And God, why did you do this to me? God, why did you let this happen? God, why did you allow this? God, it's like we're telling God, you are the one giving me all this trouble. I don't know. I have a feeling that it's me. I get in trouble. I don't know. Do you think like that? Is it you that gets in trouble, or is it God that sends you all this trouble? I don't know. I think more like God allows some of those troubles. But guess what? Nothing surprises God. Nothing slips. He doesn't go, oops, I didn't mean to give you that. Oh, my God. Well, I am God, so. Nothing slips. He allows things, but we need to start thinking, okay, God, well, I have this problem. Guess what? I'm going to bring it to you. What do I do when a situation looks impossible? 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 8 through 11. Check this out. For we do not want you to be unaware, brethren, of our affliction, which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened excessively beyond our strength, so that we despaired even of life. Gee, this is Paul having so much trouble. Indeed, we had the sentence of death within ourselves, so that we would not trust in ourselves, but in God, who raises the dead. You see that? Now check this out. Who delivered us from the so great of peril of death and will deliver us. And he on whom we have set our hope, and he will yet deliver us. You also joining and helping us through your prayers, so that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the favor bestowed on us through the prayers of many. Paul is telling the church, you know what? We've been through so much. You know, Paul went through so much. He was beaten, he was stoned, incarcerated, persecuted, you name it. And he's telling them, you know what, whatever, let's just keep praying, everything's going to be all right. We lift that up to God. When you look at 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, it says, cast all of your problems, cast all of your anxieties upon God. Why? Because he cares for you. He takes care of you. He will take care of you. Give your problems to God. When it looks like it's out of control, you give it to God and God will take care of business for you. Number four, eliminate negative words. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Here we go. The tongue. The power of the tongue. Oh, we're so negative sometimes. I got to say, this is one of the things I battle with in life. Negative words, you know, thinking or being judgmental about myself and about others. I admit that. I have to be like constantly cutting and telling myself, no, don't say that because you're going to mess it up again. Anybody struggle with that? Thank you. I appreciate that. One of these days we're going to talk and we're going to struggle with that together. Wow. It's so amazing. This is not good. Have you ever talked yourself into feeling bad? I know I have. I've done that. You know, I feel so tired. You know, when people say to you, you tell them anything, and they go, oh, poor thing. And you start believing it.
Yeah, I'm a poor thing. Look at me. Poor me. Right? I know people mean well when they say that, right? Because I even say it sometimes. Pobrecito. Poor thing, right? Anybody say that? Anybody use that expression once in a while? No, now nobody does it except you and me, brother. Everybody else never does that. Right? But sometimes we want to hear that. And when we hear that, we feel even more pobrecito. Poor thing. And we're like, yeah. You can talk yourself into anything. You can make yourself sick if you want to. You know those people that you can't tell them, oh, man, I have a pounding headache. Oh, man, me, I've been like that all day. Like, did I ask you? let's not start naming people, bro. But we do that, unfortunately. We kind of like, well, that negative stuff. We need to eliminate negative words, you know. The Bible has a lot to say about this. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. You know, I struggle with that. Sometimes my word does not give grace to other people. Those of you who know me very well and those of you who hang out with me know that sometimes I have a good friend that sometimes says, well, think about that. Maybe, and I'm like, oh, here he goes again. And he's right. Because sometimes I just, bleh, and somebody else got to go take that back. And that's so hard, right? We can't be doing that. Let's use hopeful words and helpful words, you see. And the funny thing is that it says, use only those words, only. You know what that means? Don't use the other words. Struggle with that. This means that you should have no negative words in your vocabulary. That's tough. Now, James chapter 3, verses 4 and 6. Here we go. Let's talk about this. This is awesome. Look at the ships also. Though they are so great and driven by strong winds, all still directed by a very small rudder, wherever the inclination of the pilot desires. You see that? A very small thing on a ship is what moves the whole thing. Now, so also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. See how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire? And the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life, and is set on fire by hell. Now, hold on 1 second. I don't even want to go to the part where it says it's set on fire by hell. Let's think about the phrase before that for a second. It sets on fire the course of our life. The power of our tongues and what we say, it sets the course for our lives. That's why you got to watch what you say. Watch your mouth, bro, right? Watch your mouth. You got to watch it. You got to stop talking and start focusing on what you want, not what you don't want, on the positive instead of the negative. You know what I'm talking about. Number 5, associate with positive people. Now, don't go running right now. You may think, well, this guy is negative right here. No, don't leave the place, all right? Hopefully we got positive people in here, but don't be so negative. But then hang out with positive people that they have an influence on you. It's very important because sometimes we get discouraged because we get attached to discouraging people, right? Have you known any discouragers? Don't look at anybody, please. They're out there somewhere. You've met them. You've maybe known. You know some. Don't be pointing at each other either. It's amazing. It's crazy. You see, that's one of the reasons why it's good to join a good, warm family church. And I hope this is it for everyone. It's nice and chilled right now, right? Praise the Lord. The AC is hitting me and I'm feeling good. But I hope you are warmed by the people who are around you. Or the coat. Okay. John, do something about that, please. See, get around some positive people
The wrong crowd can bring you down, right? And we know that. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33. Bad company ruins what? Good morals. Basically, bad company will ruin your character. It will make you make bad decisions. It will mess you up. Okay? Now, if you wanna soar like an eagle, don't hang out with the turkeys. Right? Simple as that. In Psalm 1, the Bible says, blessed is the man who walks, what? The man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of the sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. Okay? Why? Because it's simple. Optimism is contagious, but so is pessimism. So which way you want to go? What do you want to do? You don't need all of that discouragement. Now, hold on one second. You need to hang out with positive people, but you also need to have a ministry for pessimist people, negative people. Don't just run away from them and say, I don't want nothing with you. You're negative. No, you have to be an influence to them. But hang out with positive people, get charged, and minister to those who are negative people. And last but not least, I told you we would get out of here by two. Remember your future. Remember your future. Think about your future. How many of you have a future? Oh, there's a couple. All of us have a future in Christ. Amen? How many of you say amen? Yeah, we do have a future in Christ. So you got to remember your future. You know, we tend to be bogged down by our past, and the devil likes to remind us of our past. When he reminds you of your past, what do? You remind him of his future. Because you have a future in Christ and he doesn't. Simple as that. When you're discouraged and you want to be optimistic, remember your future. Remember, the Bible calls this our blessed hope. Our blessed hope. There is hope in Christ. Amen? And if you're a believer and you put your faith in Christ, the final chapter of your life is not written in stone. It's written in heaven. It's not earthly. It's heavenly. Remember that. This life is not the end. There is a heaven. There is a dwelling place where God is waiting and expecting you and I. He has expectations for us. So why not us have expectations in him? That's faith right there. There is a heaven. There is a second coming. Jesus will be returning. And that is our hope. And he will take us to heaven. That's whom we're waiting for. There's a story about a couple of missionaries many, many years ago. They have been working in Africa for many years. They pretty much invested their whole lives there. And when they were returning home to the United States, they were coming to New York. The ship that they were traveling, there was somebody very important, Teddy Roosevelt, the president of the United States. And as they were on their journey, they had no pension. They had no, I mean, their health was broken. They were getting old. They were defeated, discouraged, and afraid because they knew they had nothing when they returned to the United States. But yet, the husband started looking around and saw the president, and he saw how so many people were paying attention to him. And he was coming from a hunting trip in Africa. But they were so discouraged, and they were like, something is wrong. Something is wrong. We gave our lives in faithful service to God, and here we are alone. Nobody even recognizes us, but this man goes to Africa on a hunting expedition, and everybody and their brother wants to get his autograph and wants to get with him. What is wrong with this? Something is really wrong. When they got to New York, he said there was a band playing for the president. There was all kinds of hundreds of people waiting on him, but not a single soul waiting on them when they arrived. They slipped out of the ship. Like they were nobodies. Nobody ever even noticed them. They decided to rent a cheap apartment to see how they would start looking for work. make a living. That night, the man started crying and crying and praying. And his wife said, you know what? What's wrong? He says, well, I can't take this. It's just bothering me so much that we've done so much and no reward. No reward. And his wife said, listen, I think you need to go back in the room, lock yourself up, and tell that to God. Tell God about it. I'm tired of listening to you complaining about this. Go complain to God. Go tell him. So he did. And then he came out of the room sometime later. And she said, so? He said, well, God settled it with me. He truly did. I told him how bitter I was about the president and all he gets, the tremendous homecoming. But then I told him about how I felt, how nobody took care of us. And when I finished, it just seemed like the Lord took me in his arms and told me, son, you're not home yet. There will be a welcome home for you. And if you're a believer, I want you to know and think that I can only think that when we get to the presence of God, it won't take but if 30 seconds to say, why on earth did I get so discouraged when all of this was coming to me? You know what I mean? There's so much stuff. Then all of a sudden, I think I'm going to be going like, I should have, instead of complaining or instead of being discouraged, why didn't I pray more? Why didn't I serve more? Why didn't I do more? Why didn't I give more? Why didn't I do more for the Lord? We're not home yet. So I want you to remember your future. And remember the verse that we gave you in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. To him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. He is more abundant than you can think. That is almost like a blank check. Have you ever gotten a blank check in your life? Yes, you did. When Jesus Christ paid the price for your sin, you got a new lease on life and it was blank, right? You got it, abundant. Now, think about it. It's like a blank check. It's like for your problems, for your illnesses, for your finances, for your relationships, for your job, for your children, for your service, for whatever it is. How much are you willing to write that check for today? How much are you willing to believe God for? That's faith. Remember that. Remember when Jesus talked to the blind man? He said, according to your faith, it will be done.
Horeb Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart, presented a message for your life. If this message has been an impact to your life, or you would like more information of previous sermons and information about our church, contact us at www.horebnola.com.